upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And just for the sake of time, let's just go down to verse 31. So this, what day is this? And what day? So it is 6 days. And God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was good. So all the way after God created man, it was what? Good. Then when God created man, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the 6 days. May the Lord have listened to the reading of his word, and the church said, the Lord is blessed already. Amen. You may be seated. I know some of you have to catch up. I tried to do more notes this time to make it more more visible notes. Alright, so what we're going to do, we need to establish the creative days of God. How long was each creative day? And last week, I think I went kind of fast. Everybody probably didn't keep up. So this week, we have visual aids to help with the notes. Amen? So, Sister Sharon, can you put up the one for the 6 day of creation, God's creation? All right, you all have these in your notes. All right, if you turn, I'm not sure where it's at in your notes, but you have this as a note because we have to establish how each creative day was. All right, and we do have it in your notes. Psalm 19:7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect to the converting of the souls. All right, so law, God's law is perfect. So God is a God of order and consistency. Whatever God does, he doesn't change it. He keeps it the same. So we have to go to the 6 day to establish how long each creative day worked. Can we say amen? Amen. So how long was each creative day? All right, and so some is going to sound like a foreign language, but we are trying to get to this. Then what day are we presently living in? Even the theologians say mankind is living in the what day? The 6 day. So God created the heaven and the earth in how many days? 7. But the 7th day is yet to come, because when the 7th day comes, God will rest. Is God resting? Philippians said, behold, is God that worketh in you. So as long as he's working, he's not resting. All right? So if we go through this, and it's, the title of it is 7,000 years of man when on the earth. This is what day again? The 6 day. All right. So if we follow the illustration we have, it says from Adam to Enoch was how many years?
1,000.
Who's the first man created?
Adam.
All right. So human life, as we know it, started with who? Adam. Now this is how we're still in the what day again? The 6 day. So from Adam to Enoch was 1,000 years. From Enoch to Noah was? That covered what period? 2,000 years. All right. Then from Noah to Abraham was? What? So then we have how many? 3,000. From Abraham to Jesus was? Then we have how many years? 4,000. Is everybody sitting with me on this? All right. So from Jesus to what we presently are today is what? Because we're in the year 2017. Alright. Now, just as a side note, our calendar is not the same as the Jewish calendar. Alright, their time is short. They don't have 31 days and 30 days and 29 and leap years and all that. Their calendar is consistent. So we don't know exactly where, but we know we're approximately 2,000 years. Alright? So from Adam to where we are today is how many thousand years so far?
6,000.
Alright, does everybody see that? From Adam to where we are today is how many years?
6,000
years. Now we know there is a millennial reign, and the millennial reign is how many years?
6,000.
After the millennial reign, the 6th day will end. So the 6th day is a total of how many years?
7,000.
Alright. That is the 6th day. The 7th day is yet to come. I know some of you all like me, I was in RPI, and when I first learned, the first teacher was teaching this. I said, what do you mean the 7th day is yet to come? I said, right? And God created the heaven and earth in 7 days. Right? So how can we say that it's not yet to come? All right, because And anything in your notes too, from Genesis 1:3 to Genesis 2:3 is the plan of God. I just need to show you this to get a clearer understanding. So, Sister Sharon, can you go to Genesis 2:4? Genesis 2:4. You say, well, how do we know it's the plan of God? How do we know that this is a plan that God has not yet began to work? Amen? Genesis 2:4 reads, and then we're going to go backwards again because we're going to let science prove what the Bible says is true to a certain extent. All right. So Genesis chapter 2 and verse 4 said, these are the generations of the what? After the days when they were created. Amen. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. And the next verse is what lets us know it's the plan. Because it says what? And every plant of the field
before it was in the earth.
So this is the plan. He said, but he given it to us, nothing is yet in the earth. So it has to be a plan. Because if God created it, it should be in the earth. But he says this is all of it before it was in the earth. And every herb of the field before it grew. For God, the Lord God, had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and
there
was no beginning to till the ground. So if all of it was not in the earth, and God had already said, let us do it, then it has to be the plan. Right? Like an architect builds a house, he starts off with a Deacon Joe and Brother Will, if you ever go start building something without a plan, you wind up with a mess. Right? God in his wisdom knew this. Alright? So this is just a plan. But the sixth day that we're presently living in is 7,000 years. Alright? Now, they say the earth, and I was just reading again, even NASA. I always call it NASA. NASA says that the earth has been around for billions of years. Amen. And 1 Timothy 6:20, remember this. Paul talks to Timothy about beware of the opposition of science. Because science, well, go to 1 Timothy 6:20. Let's read this, okay? So that you don't think I'm making it up. You have to be careful about science because science is man's knowledge. Man's knowledge is limited. Even today, as I was reading some of the National Geographic and NASA, they explained something to a certain point, then they put a big gap. It didn't make sense. Things changed. They followed it to a certain point, but then everything changed. But Paul tells Timothy, he said, oh, Timothy, keep that, and this is also in your notes somewhere. Keep that which I commit to thy trust. Avoid. Important. We're trying to know the mind of God, understand what God is doing. He says, avoid profane and vain babblings and the
opposition.
Why? Because science opposes the truth. Right? So he had to keep that which is committed to his trust. Now let's go back to Genesis chapter 1. And we're not going to deal too much with verse 2, because we did that extensively, and third, as you can note, you can read that about when everything changed. But I just want to bring out something. The question was asked, how do we know when God said, let there be light, how do we know what happened? Right? In verse 3, how do we know what happened? Well, he said, let there be light. All right, and before we go there, and this is your notes that we just gave you today. Let's go to explain it a little further. Yeah, the one about fire rotation and gravity. Do you see that at the top of your pages? All right, we're going to start off there because that's going to give us, I'm going to, with the help of the Lord, try to explain why. I gotta explain why the world can't see this. It's so important that we have the Spirit of God, okay? Because the Spirit of God reveals things that the world don't know. Can we say praise the Lord? All right, so in 1
1 Corinthians chapter 2, we're going to read verses 7 through 11. We're going to go to establish the foundation of how we receive this. Because to the natural mind, it seems foolish. It seems like it doesn't really make sense. But Paul writes to Corinthians, and he tells them, God takes the foolish things of God to confound the what? Wise of this world. So the stuff that God sounds foolish, God said he uses that to confound the wise of this world. Why? Because they look at it through the eyes of wisdom of man, but they don't look through the wisdom of God. So 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7 says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery that is not clearly seen. We speak the what? Wisdom of who? Not man, but God. Amen? In a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained. So before the other world, God had this wisdom. Before the world, all right, unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified. They didn't call him Jesus, they called him who? The Lord. Who got crucified? The Lord. But behold, Israel, the Lord and God is. So they crucified Paul, says the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen, ye have not heard, neither have you entered into the hearts of men. What God has prepared for them that there's a great preparation that we don't know with our natural mind, for God has prepared for those of us that love him. But verse 10 said, but God has revealed them unto us by his. So how do we know this happened? How do we know Genesis and all of these events took place? Well, Moses received the revelation, and Moses, the Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. But especially Genesis, Moses writes this 2,000 years after the first man. So how did Moses know? Because there was no written record. He received it by revelation. Right? Okay, everybody with me? Moses was not there when God created the heaven and the earth because there was no man. We read. So how does Moses know this? By revelation. So it said, verse 10 said, but God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, even the. This is where we get about to get deep. Well, you can't get it without the Spirit. Amen. That's why the princes of this world don't understand this. Alright, so let's go to Matthew 11 chapter. We'll skip Isaiah 44 from now. Let's go to Matthew 11. And the question is, well, why don't the wise of this world know this? They know everything else. Because God's revelation only comes through the Spirit. Alright, so remember, don't look at it with your natural mind. Now we're approaching it through our spiritual mind. So Matthew 11:25 says, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast the hid. Right? The hid. Who hid them? God hid these things from the what? Wise and prudent has revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemeth good in thy sight. Alright? All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son. Well, how can they say no man knoweth the Son when they knew that was Jesus? Because there is something that's hidden. It's not evident. You can't see it with the natural mind or the natural eyes. Okay? Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. But everyone knew God was, he said, but you really don't know because it is hidden. God has not yet shown. And Psalms 25:14, I think, and you all can read the other parts later, because we need to get back to Genesis. Psalms 25:14 says, the secret of the Lord is with them that. What's a secret? It's something that's hidden. It's not evident. It's not clearly seen. Amen? All right, now let's go back to Genesis chapter 3. Chapter 1, verse 3 of Genesis. Let's go back. So this revelation only comes through what? The Spirit. So man with his natural eyes will not understand it, because God has revealed it unto them, because he has done what? The scripture, he's what? Hid it from the wise and the prudent. He said, as wise as man is, yeah, but they only know the things of man. They don't know the things that be of God. Amen? So now let's go back to Genesis chapter 1. Now y'all can stop me if I go too fast. Alright, if anyone don't understand, please stop me, because it's important. The reason that we're going over this again is so that you will get the understanding. Alright. Verse 3 said, and God said, let there be light. So the question is, when God said, let there be light, what happened for us to have light? Now if we go down to verse, let's go down to verse 6. Then we go back. So God said, let there be light. So there's light. Amen?
Amen.
Is everybody with me?
Amen.
God said, let there be light, and there was light. Okay? And it says, verse 6, and God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the water. God said, let there be light, but he never said, let there be water. So where did the water
come from?
Where did the water come from? Where did the water come from? God never said, let there be water. Alright, this is where we really get into the revelation of the revelations. Alright, so let's go back to your notes again that we just went through. When God said, let there be light, remember at this time, the only thing that's out there is what? Eternity. Just eternity. There's nothing else there. Because the only thing that's there is God and the angels, and that is eternity. Alright, so now let's go to a cloud covered the mountain. And the glory of God, of the Lord, abode upon Mount Sinai. And the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of God was like a... So this is God appearing again. He's like a what?
Fire.
Right? Now this is going to say, how do we know God appeared in fire? Because every time he appears, he's going to be
fire.
All right? Now let's go to Exodus chapter 13 and verse 21. All right? And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them by the way, and by night in a
fire.
So God is with them again, but he's what? Fire. All right? Stay with me. I know this is kind of hard. All right. So God, all of a sudden, when he says, let there be light, fire appears. All right? So where does the waters come from? Whatever the fire, when it burns, it gets off what?
Gases.
Or steam. What happens to the steam when it goes off? Turns into water. Okay? Now let's go to that's far enough. I think we got that. Let's go to our notes. Let's go to our notes on how NASA said everything came into existence first. Alright? Now we said God said, let there be light, and now all of a sudden something appeared. Right? And he had to separate the light from the darkness. If you remember in Acts 26 chapter when Paul is talking about when the Lord appeared to him, he said the Lord appeared and he was brighter than the sun. This is God's light. This is God's fire. He was brighter than the sun on the Mount of Transfiguration. When Jesus was transfigured, because Jesus was God, they say that his garments shine like light. Every time you read about God, God is. The Bible says Jesus was the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And he was light in the darkness, was unable to comprehend him. So God and Jesus are always light. Well, what's the light? It is a fire. All right. Can you go to the one where the nebulous, it says NASA, see it where it's spinning? Now, just to show you that the next one, that's the one we'll come back to that one. All right. So this is what NASA says. This is the revelation that Bishop G.T. Haywood received back in 1923 concerning the Earth and how it was formed and began to rotate. It said, according to Bishop G.T. Haywood, do you all have that? Everybody sees that, right? Now, this picture is not from Bishop G.T. Haywood. This is what NASA says happened in the beginning when they began here. Because they knew it had to be fire. Okay? So he says, the invisible God in the midst of what kind of space? There was nothing there. Empty space, grappling with things unseen, whirling around and around, thus being an immeasurable amount, mass of gases, of a gaseous substance. Alright? But go back up to NASA. It says, in this painting of an imaginary young star system, the star has, the star did what? Caught on
fire.
Right? This is what NASA said. This is what Bishop G.T. Haywood said. The same thing. When the star caught on fire, it began to whirl things, and then the world itself began to turn. Right? That's where the rotation came from. Who says this? NASA says it. National Geographic says it. So they confirm what Bishop G.T. Haywood says. But he said, Bishop G.T. Haywood said it was an immeasurable amount of gas or fire burning. What are the stars made out of? Gas. Those stars, if you can go up there and touch them, they ain't nothing physical. But the stars are gas. But when you see the stars, what are they?
Light.
Right? They confirm what he saw. Because the gaseous substance let off light and it also let off heat. That's what science says. But the problem is they go back to so many billions of years because they don't understand the revelation right now that we know that there was a gaseous substance and fire burning, let's go to the other illustration of the earth now. And then after this, we're going to go to the book of Job, because Job goes deep. Right? Because Job was before Moses. Right? Job explained it even deeper before Moses, okay? So do you have that on the earth? Alright. So we see the earth. Right in the center of the earth is a solid inner core. Then it has the liquid outer core, which is all magma or fire. How do we know? Anybody ever seen a volcano? Alright. So let's read. This is science. This is not the Bible. But it supports it to an extent. But then if you follow too far, it will oppose it, because they can't figure it out what happened. So since they can't figure out what happened, they have to make up stuff. It says the earth core is what? Well, you know, we know it's hot, because when God said let there be light, what came out?
Fire.
Fire. So we know it's what? Hot. Is everybody with me? Slow me down. I don't want to leave. Alright. So the ball-shaped core lies beneath the cool, brittle crust and mostly solid mantle. Remember we read, he said, let the dry land appear? That's the crust. That's the solid mantle. That's what's under there, okay? The core is found about 1,802 miles below Earth's surface. It has a radius, which is all important. He said, when Earth was formed, it was a uniform ball of. When Earth was formed, it was what? Isn't that what the scripture said when God said, let there be light? It defines. So the Earth's center is hot rock. At the center of Earth lies a two-part core. The inner part is about the size of our moon and has a density essentially to steel, which is iron. Right. And remember that. The center of Earth has a core which is like iron. The outer core surrounding it is an ocean of liquid metal, which is about 2,300 kilometers thick. The Earth's rotation makes this ocean flow and swirl, and the moving metal generates the planet's magnetic field. Okay? Most of Earth's heat is stored in the mantle, and there are four sources that keep it hot. First, there's the heat left over from when gravity first condensed a planet from the cloud of. What? It condensed from what? So what condensed means you got what? Condensation. That goes along with Genesis. When God said there'd be light, and all of a sudden there was water, and then he separated, put the firmament in the heaven and separate the waters from the water. Amen? Is that what I said with me? Amen. So science support scripture to a certain extent. Alright, let me see, I want to read one other part of this whole. Let's keep going. It says, first there, the heat left over from when gravity first condensed a planet from the cloud of hot gases and particles in pre-Earth space. As the molten ball cooled, the outside hardened and formed a crust. Then God said, let there be, he said, separate the waters from the waters and let the dry land. That's two crusts. Earth spins because of the way it was formed. When a huge cloud of gas and dust started to collapse under its own gravity, as the cloud collapsed, it started to spin. Now, I do remember something about gravity. Gravity is, I'm going to have to take physics. Gravity itself is 9.8 meters per second. Gravity, right? So if we fall, everything falls at the same speed, 9.8 meters. The friction, the size changes it. So it's either 9.8 meters per second or 32 feet per second. That's gravity. Well, where did this come from in the beginning? When God said that there, and the earth started spinning. All right, now let's go to Job chapter 28. Everything that we just read about in NASA and National Geographic chapter 28. We're going to read more than we did before. Before we only did verse 5, just to show that under the earth turneth it, as it is a what? A fire. Under the earth. So let's go to Job chapter 28, and we're going to read verses 1 through 12. I said 1 through 6, but we're going to go 1 through 12. All right. Now this is Job speaking about the earth. It is so important that we understand that the science supports creation. Science supports creation. All right. So verse 1, Job says, surely there is a vein for silver and a place where gold, where they can find it. So a vein means that somewhere down in the earth, there is a vein where you have to mine silver. All right. Keep following. Iron is taken out of, well, the center of the earth is like a solid mass of what? Iron. Right? So Job is telling, he said that iron is coming out of, well, how did Job know this? He knew this before they even had science and microscopes and telescopes and all that. How did he know? Through what?
Revelation.
He said iron is coming way out of the earth. Out of the earth. Science said the center of the earth is like a solid block of iron. So God is so magnificent in wisdom. Okay? And brass is molded out of the stone. He set it an end to darkness and searching out all perfection, the stones of darkness and the shadow of death. This means in all actuality, in today's language, when he sends them into darkness, you ever see people going mining for coal?
Right.
When they mine for coal, what do they have on? Helmets for what? So you have to send it into it. Send it into. How did Job know all these years in advance? Because of God's revelation. Sending them into darkness, searching out all perfection, the stones of that is iron ore or coal. This is before mankind even did anything. Job said it was there. He said, at the shadow. He said, you know what? That's so dangerous. Going for that mining, you could do what? Die. Alright? So let's continue Job. This is before science put anything on paper. Amen. This supports the creation theory, but science supports it also. It says the flood breaketh out from the inhabitants, even the waters, for God of the foot, they are drawn up, they are going away from men. Man, this is deep about the center of the earth. Alright? Then I'm going to read something to you. Another science said about what's under the earth. Amen? He said, as for the earth, out of it cometh bread, and under it turneth up as it were. Well, we know it's fire there. Right? Because when God said, let there be light, what began to turn? God said, cause myself to come into existence. So the fire began to turn. So Job says, under the earth turneth as it were. What did we just read? Under the earth is? Well, he said, how do you know? Go to Honolulu. Go to the 600 volcanoes they have in the world. Watch what comes out. And they say that fire, that this is after it's cooled off, when it comes out, is over 2,200 degrees. But they say actually in the center of the earth, the temperature is over 13,000 degrees. That is hot. Right? So when God said, let there be light, his fire began to burn. Amen? All right. Verse 6 says, the stones of it are the place of sapphires, and they have dust of. Well, what is all in the dust, all the gold and sapphire, what are they mining at? Out of the what? Well, how did Job know? He didn't have no science books. How did he get the revelation that gold and sapphire and all the quartz were going to come out of the? How did he know? Through what? Through revelation. Amen. Is there a vague path which the birds can't go in? And which the vultures I have not seen. The lion's whelp they have not trodden, nor the fierce lion passed by it. He put forth his hand upon the rock. He overturned the mountains by the roots. Listen, only a revelation from God to know this. Right? How can he overturn mountains? Not at the top, but by the roots. Right? Because God is giving Job this revelation. Amen? He cut it out rivers. He cut it out rivers on the rock. Now, I didn't give you all this, so let me just read you this. This is from back in 1920, I believe, 1927. This is what they said when they were trying to figure out how they were getting all of this water from the earth. Any of y'all ever lived in a place, Elder Gibbs, I know you know, where you have wells? What are wells? Can you get wells from dirt? When you get a well, you have to dig down into the what? Down to the rocks. Right? You don't do, even now, the reason they don't want to do this fracking. Fracking. Yeah. Fracking. Really not. Really, they don't want fracking is because they got to dig down into the rocks to get the oil and the gas. Well, everywhere they had fracking, earthquakes have tremendously increased. Why? Because they disturbed the storm. That's why they're fighting fracking coming to New York. All right? But let me read this for you about water. Amen? Now we know that God separated, if we go back to Genesis 1:7, it said, God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. Now for 7,000 years, God separated this water, but the earth is still forming and getting hard. Right? Because it's still heating up and cooling off. Heating up and cooling off. So where is the water that's getting trapped in the earth? Right? It's getting trapped. What is it? As the earth gets hot and hard, it's not dirt, but it's what? Rock. Alright? So then this is back in the 1900s. Alright? It says, this is a period of time has been referred to by the geologists as a mineral or geological period. The water that encircled the shrinking, this is not the Bible. This is science. The water that encircled the shrinking mass. What's the shrinking mass? When God said that there'd be fire and the water began to cool off in the mass. Alright? So they say the water that encircled the shrinking mass gradually formed into rock, clay, sand, metal, and other mineral substances that are found in the bowel of the earth. The Literary Digest, which was a magazine in the early 1900s, had an article with the heading Fossil Oceans, in which it was stated that great bodies of salt water are encountered by large proportions of the wells, sunk to depths well below 1,000 feet. So when God said separate the water, he did separate it, but the waters contained the waters from above would be the gases, but the waters on earth kept getting trapped. So that's why we get our wells. You ever heard of artesian wells?
Yes.
Right. Where does an artesian well come from? Water is where? In the earth. Right. And just like they, after the pressure builds up, they have to come out, just like a volcano when the pressure builds up. Amen? So that, we only use that to substantiate or to prove what the Bible says is true. They said that thousands of feet down they have water that's like an ocean. It says the salt water is generally contained in some bed of unusually porous rock, and there's nothing less than the remains of entombed oceans. Where are the oceans at? Did God separate? Well, when he separated, the earth continued to form, and the waters were under the earth. Now, also, as the waters were cooled and they would, the rocks and the molten lava, that's where we get our gold from. Years of that, okay, hold on a second. That's where we get gold from. But they said we only found a small percentage of the gold, because you know where most of the gold is at? Under the ocean. But they can't afford to mine it because of how deep the ocean is. So the majority of the gold is, well, how come? Why is it under the ocean? Because that's where all the hot molten lava and everything combined and condensed and formed into gold. Yes. Are you having my gold? Because they won't give you.
Okay, so going back to Job 28:1, when you're talking about gold, and then you said veins were silver,
yes,
and gold, and then you said sapphire. Last week you said that Lucifer was made up,
yes,
of all these jewels, gold, yes, silver, sapphire, all those rubies and diamonds.
Yes.
So when he was cast down into the earth,
no, he didn't come from him, though. Lucifer didn't have all that. You know, you don't read that. He had all that in him when God created him. You know, he had vows of music.
And,
yeah, we was cast down, but remember, this is massive. Lucifer wouldn't have to be eternal to produce that much. But this comes through the process of time. When you read about quartz and flint, rocks and all this stuff, all of that is just through the process of time. So Lucifer lost it, but he lose that much. All right, this came through the process of time and the earth cooling, heat and the elements and everything. Like, how did the Grand Canyon come in? Who would not have made the Grand Canyon? Who else seen the Grand Canyon? How did the Grand Canyon get here? Think of that. That's it. How did it happen? Because of God. And the waters and the earth cooling and all. Alright? Alright, let me explain something else too. I'm just trying to make sure that we understand that the process of time, each day, that each of God's created days is how many years?
7,000.
Each created day is how many years?
7,000.
7,000, right? Because the sixth day is 7,000. God is a law. God does everything in order. The law of the Lord is perfect. He doesn't change it. So when he said, let there be light, for 7,000 years, the fire just turned. Right? That fire turned and kept producing water, and it was cooling and forming and cooling and forming and cooling and forming, and there were still gases, right? Because all of our universe, other than the moon and the sun, are gases. Every time you see a twinkle, twinkle little star, how I wonder what you are? Up above the earth. You know what that is? That's nothing but a gas. You ever look up in the sky at night, it's just bright with just stars, not the moon. That's nothing but a gas. So that gas gives off light and heat. If those stars give out light and heat, and God inspired all by himself, and he said, let there be light. Can you imagine the massive, it was immeasurable. Okay? When God said that there'd be light. So the question, one of the questions is, so exactly how old is the earth? Right? Earth began when God said, let there be light. So for the first day, each day of God's creative days, not our solar days, that's, I need to go to that too. Each day of our creative days is 7,000 years. So for the first day, when God said, let there be light, that fire turned how long? 7,000 years. And then, let's go back to Genesis again. And let's go to verse 6, because I need to get down a little further into this now. All right, so we understand that the water, the earth, and everything came as a result of God saying, let there be light. The rotation, gravity, the magnetic field, all came from the fire that was what? Spinning. Any questions? That group in the back, y'all bad dudes. Y'all be like, y'all got to pour out there for you. Some hard questions for you. All right. Alright, but let's go through this anyway. I know y'all think for thinking. Alright, verse 6 says, God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the water from the water. We know these waters came from the fire that was burning and cooling and the gases. Alright, so God creates the heaven and separates the water from the water. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. And evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, verse 9, God said, let the waters that are. Because remember now, the earth is still there, all the water is just piling up. And God is still producing. Right? Just like you ever see, I don't know if you ever go outside after a rainy day and the sun comes, you can almost see the mist. Is it right going up right after the rain? Well, it's still the heat from the earth is still there. It's still emanating heat out. It's still cooling off, so everything is still taking place. Okay, and God said, let the firmament in the heavens, and the evening morning was the second day. And God said that the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto what? One place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. All right. Now, if we go, let's go to Proverbs, no, let me go down first if we get time, because I have to be out by 8:30 in order for all y'all to keep coming so y'all kids can go to school.
Amen.
You don't want to have excuses. So the evening and morning were the third day. Now let's get down to verse 14. All right. Because at this time there is a greater light and a lesser light. But there are no stars. All right. There are no heavenly bodies there. They don't come until the fourth day. All right. So God said, let there be. All right. So every time God makes something, he said, let there be. So remember that, he never said let there be water. Now he's going to make the firmament. Let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day. But there was already day and night, but it wasn't a 24 hour. Right. So this is how you know, how long were these days? They weren't 24 hours. Because the 24 hour day didn't start until the. So what were those other days? They weren't a 24-hour day that we know. They were God's creative days of 7,000 years. Because the 24-hour day didn't start till the. So what did God do? Work backwards. Then go back. Right? So just remember that. That's why the world can't get this. Actually, I really think they said the earth is only 6,000 years old. That's the day they messed up. Because man has been here for 6,000 years. That means time God created the earth, he put man here. But that's not what the scripture said. All right, they say one day is with the Lord for 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. That's not God's created days. All right, so let's keep going here. So it says, and to divide the day from the night, and let them be for what?
Signs
and
seasons,
and
days,
and
years.
So that is our solar system and time now. So what was time before the fourth day? There were lights. There was vegetation. It was growing and decaying, but what kind of vegetation was it? It wasn't like our vegetation because there was no sun. There was a sun. There was no heavenly bodies, all right, as we know today. So how did all of that take place? Because that was not God's 24-hour day. The 24-hour day did not start until what? So what regulated those other 3 days? Because God is a God of order. What regulated those days? So if the 24-hour day didn't start to the fourth day, what regulated those days? That's why God takes us to the sixth day again to see that each one of his created days was 7,000 years, as we would know it now. But prior to that, they weren't a 24-hour day. So when they say God created the heaven and earth in a day, well, how could he create something in a day that wasn't there? Right? Do you understand? How can he create it? Actually, I read today, they said each one of God's created days was a 24-hour day. Well, how did he create something before it was even 24 hours? Because the fourth day, he set those things in the firmament for signs, days, years, and seasons. Right? So before this, there was no winter. There was no summer. There was no fall. There was no autumn. So I said, we need to go back there. No winter, yes. But before the fourth day, there was no seasons. Right? So what regulated everything? Well, how did everything take place? Now, one of the ways that we get coal also, besides the earth and the fire, is that vegetation grew and decayed, but it wasn't regular foliage. So every time it grew and decayed, for 7,000 years, it was just being covered under the earth. Covered under the earth. So Job says there's a place where he calls it the stones of fire. Right? Those stones of fire would be coal. Well, how did he know? Through what? Revelation. Right? So God's plan is so complete if we follow God's plan and God's word. Alright. Now another scripture that do y'all have questions about, because I don't want to go over time. Do y'all have any questions about today's subject? I know you're old school. You might be taking me way to the old age. All right, yes, sir. Is it on?
Yes, it's on.
Okay.
No, it's like confirmation because I grew up back near West Virginia where there's so many
other people. I thought people said you grew up in the fourth day. I was like, what?
Close. No, but the coal miners, they had canaries and rats in the cave, and they were sacred because they could sense the gases when they were digging the coal.
Yes.
And once those rats started leaving, or the canaries would die, they knew they were in trouble. They better get out of there. But while they were digging, they were stirring up gases. In the
earth. Yeah, well, you know, those explosives they had when those coal miners were trapped were from the what?
Yeah.
From the gases. That a trap had in the earth. You know, so if you really follow the word of God and the plan of creation, everything kind of ties it together. All right, it ties it together. All right, then let's go down a little more to this into the 16th. All right, let's go down to when God said in the 26th verse. All right, I got 5 minutes. So I'll do this in 5 minutes. One of the really things that's important to realize when you're studying scripture, you know, a lot of times when people read the word God, they think all God means the same. But to us, all God is the same, but it's not the same to the Hebrew. So the Old Testament is pretty much in what? In Hebrew. Alright, so when the term God is used, like in the first chapter, first verse, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? That God is Elohim, which means the plural of God or the power of God in creation. That God means Elohim is God in creation, right? Remember that. Elohim is God in creation. Alright. Now, in the 26th verse, it says, God said, let us make man in our image. Now, the Trinitarians have taken this us to mean that the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost are all present at the same time. But that is not what that us is. So if we turn to Ephesians chapter 1, when we're still in the sixth day, Ephesians chapter 1. I didn't touch on the Lucifer stuff, because we'd be here forever on that. You all can ask private questions or get the notes from that. But Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 says, Paul said, as according as God has chosen us in him, chosen who? Us in him. So when God said, let us make man, remember, God is thinking the plan of God. So when he said, let us make man, he's thinking of coming into this existence as man or being the church. So he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. And it's ahead of time, but if you get to where after Adam ate of the fruit, Eve ate, he said, man has become like us. That wasn't three up there, there's only one. Right? That us is how God saw himself coming into the world. Alright, now let's go to Genesis chapter 2. At least next week we can be in Genesis chapter 2. Get out of chapter 1 for a while. Folks, y'all have no questions. Alright. It's very important that you understand the relationship. When God uses God, Lord, you know, all those gods don't mean the same. Most of the Lords mean Jehovah, all right? But all, when God makes a plan, his whole plan throughout Genesis 1, who gave you all the word? God. All right? Y'all with me?
Amen.
Everybody with me?
Amen.
All the way up to Genesis chapter 2, God gave all the word, all right? And now let's go to chapter 2 and verse 4 of chapter 2. Actually, let's start at verse 1. Listen to this. I'll just go through this and we're in here tonight. Amen? It says, thus the heaven and the earth were finished and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made and rested on the seventh day from all the work which he had made. But we know that the seventh day had not yet come because God is not even the 6 days man worked and the seventh day, Sabbath, a whole unto the God, that was a type, all right, of God. We'll get to that at another time also. It said, and on the seventh day he ended his work for which he had made. Verse 3, and God blessed and sanctified it, because that in it he rested from all his work which he had, right, which God had created and made. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that
the Lord God made the earth and heaven.
So God has done the creation, and all of a sudden that is the Lord God. All the way through Genesis 1, it was always who? God. Now it's the Lord God. What does that mean? Stay tuned for Station Identification. We'll see that next week. Praise the Lord. Any questions? That's all we need for next week. Stay tuned. Same channel, same station, same church. Lord willing, next week. Alright, so all we do want is always God. Then all of a sudden there is a Lord God. Alright, so we think about that. Any questions? We're not going to get into that because y'all will be wearing me out there. You know, last week we did that at the quarter till and I don't want to be overtime. Because Sister Virginia, Sister Maribel, Sister Vinny, they said so. I can't get up there a long time. We can't come out on this. Right, Brother Joseph? Brother Joseph, I got a word. Any questions? Let us stand. But it's so important. Every title of God or Lord is a relationship. And as ministers especially, is of what it means. The problem is we have generalized God, and we see God in the abstract instead of the concrete. Most of the Old Testament is read from a Hebrew or Jewish perspective. The Jews understood all the different kinds of God. We don't. So when we see God, we make God one. One meaning. God, all those different titles had a different relationship to man. Right? Jehovah Jireh means God will provide. Right? Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. Jehovah Shalom, God of peace. So they understood that. We have to add stuff to it. Amen? Now do we have anyone that needs prayer? Anyone that needs prayer?